And welcome in to the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. Hope everybody had a fabulous weekend. Joe Rex Road, what's going on? How we doing?
Doing all right. I got three things to say off the jump. One, happy Veterans Day. Thank you to our veterans. Two, Friday is for Knights, and the Nolensville Knights move on.
Yes, they did.
In the playoffs. And three, Jared Goff, MVP chances have gone down the toilet. That's my primary takeaway from last night's Sunday night football game.
But, hey, they did win.
They did.
You can't stop those pesky Lions, even with five interceptions.
That was a wild one.
You know what I'm not – you know, there's a lot of things that make this Titans season tough to digest. One of the other ones is I'm not sure the Houston Texans are very good, and they're going to win the division because the division is awful, but – even beyond last night, like, they just haven't looked all that impressive to me this year.
Well, so that's the thing. Some of last night, I thought they looked very impressive. Yeah. I mean, they got after Detroit's offense like no one has all year. I know the Lions are missing their left tackle, but, like, you know, the Texans were missing Will Anderson.
Danico Autry just making plays.
Danico Autry, like, straight up took it to the Penei Sewell on it. Like, tell you what, that doesn't happen.
No, it does not.
I mean, so I actually still think that they're really good and capable, but I do worry about the Texans' offensive line.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, right?
I think they've lost three of four now, I believe is the number.
And still, like, in no danger. Danger at all in this division. They are just fine. Yeah. They're getting a home game in the playoffs.
Shout out to the AFC South, baby. Looking good out there. Yeah, it's pretty wild. I did have a very nice sports weekend. I, you know, began it on Friday. Watching some Nolensville Knights football on TV.
Yeah, there we go.
Watched the whole game from start to finish. Nice. Watched every play.
Yeah,
I saw.
What do you think? I wanted a scouting report on our team then. You can, you know.
Well, I tell you what, I sent it to you, and now I'm forgetting the number. I think it's number 12. Got a little wiggle to him out there.
Andrew Ryan.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Got a little wiggle to him. It was fun to watch.
But yes.
Nolensville gets the job done, so that was fun to watch. Saturday, some college football. You know, for some reason, heading into the game, Joe, I was excited about Florida and Texas. I was like, hey, Billy Napier, vote of confidence. Maybe Florida comes out. Yeah, it didn't work. Third quarterback did not go well for Florida. But, you know, Tennessee gets the win against Mississippi State. Had a momentary heart attack when Nico went down. Turns out I think he's going to be okay. So there's all kinds of stuff there. Vanderbilt let me down with my arch nemesis, and he comes in here and gets a big win against the door. So that part of it wasn't good. Preds get a big win Saturday night. And then the Titans came on yesterday and played football. I mean, all the positive vibes were gone.
Yeah. Well, you know, some good things from the Titans. Loss, right?
Sure.
I mean, like, well, I mean, Will Levis, and in some ways,
he was okay.
You know, he did some good things. I know that now it's like that we're comparing the you know, sacks, and we're going to blame Levis on all the sacks. He gets to blame on some.
He gets some for sure. Yep.
But he threw the ball all right.
Yeah. It was, I think, all in all things considered, a step in the right direction for him yesterday. We'll get a little bit more to him specifically coming up here in just a few minutes. But the Chargers take down the Titans 27-17 yesterday out in L.A. That drops the Titans to 2-7. The Titans, they were talking about this on the broadcast yesterday on Fox. They have not beaten the Chargers on the road since they moved to Tennessee. I think it's been actually since 1990, since they beat the Chargers on the road, which is pretty wild to think about. But
just weird.
Yeah, it's very weird.
It's an oddity.
It really is. Justin Herbert, 14 of 18, 164 yards, one touchdown through the air yesterday. Kind of hurt him on the ground, too. 9 carries, 32 yards, and a touchdown for Herbert there. Titans came out, made some plays, had that first drive offensively where you hit the big shot to Ridley for the touchdown. So the, you know, the Levis Ridley connection showing some signs of life yesterday, which is, I think, certainly a positive that you can take away from it. But at the end of the day, just not enough plays made offensively. They hit that magical 17-point number again, which seems to be pretty much where they land every single week. And defensively, not that it was atrocious yesterday, but again, just some moments where, like, you know, you pinned them back at the 5, and then they go 95 yards on you and score a touchdown. And, you know, Hassan Haskins scored a touchdown yesterday. Just not able to put together three phases of good enough football for long enough. By the way, another 50-plus yard kick return given up by the Titans yesterday too. So add one up to the special teams.
There are some consistencies.
And here they are, Joe, at 2-7. You get the win last week against the Patriots. A little bit of positive momentum, and now we're right back into the doldrums of a loss for the Tennessee Titans.
But I know some people are like, all right, back up to number 3 pick. That's more like it. So that's
For everybody freaking out last week, did not take long for the draft part of this to correct itself a little bit.
Yeah, you're going to be, you're probably going to be right in there. It's again, I'm watching the offense early and I'm like, they might actually do something. Another thing is I had my doubts, which is why I picked the Titans. Feel dumb about that now. And pick not to necessarily win, but to cover and pigskin pick them. How good are the Chargers? I'm still not totally sure, but they've got those hard. They run the ball, and look, I mean, Justin Herbert. I thought some of the biggest plays in the game yesterday were him running, yep, or him, extending plays. He just, you're reminded that Justin Herbert is a problem. That team just, I feel like, and we talked about it, go back to the draft, like they don't scare you at receiver at all. Unless you have Kenneth Murray trying to cover Quentin Johnston. Then you should be scared. They don't scare you on the outside, but they are physical. And I thought the second half with the Titans defense, I was pretty disappointed in them. They were really just pushed around in the second half.
Yep.
Chargers imposed their will. That's Harbaugh. That's Harfootball. Football, courtesy of Jim Harbaugh.
Wow.
Yes, thank you. No, believe me, the Michigan fans, they've got the shirts, or they did. I'm sure they're trying to wear them and remember the good old days.
I'm sure they are.
But that was because, I really thought the Titans' defense was going to muck this one up. And in the second half, it was pretty convincing.
Yeah, well they kind of got pushed around, which you don't see. Like, that's one thing you can't say a ton about the Titans' defense is they don't really allow themselves to get pushed around all the time. That doesn't mean that they always make the play or they always get the stop. But usually, physically, you don't walk away from the game and saying, man, Titans just got pushed around. I thought they did a little bit yesterday. And look, there's the obvious in the game of the call at the end of the first half where it looked like Justin Herbert was stripped by Jeffrey Simmons. Roger McCreary picked it up and scored the touchdown, and that would have been a huge swing in the game. They take a look at it. The call on the field originally is a fumble. It goes to review, and ultimately after review, it's determined that Justin Herbert's hand was in control of the ball, and it was coming forward, and it was an incomplete pass. I didn't love it. Thought it was a fumble. But at the end of the day, I've seen those calls go that way before, and the Titans unable to overcome that. And Brian Callahan, you could tell, still upset about that in the postgame last night. Basically said, I don't want to lose my money, so I'm going to stop talking about it. But obviously a big swing in the game there for the Titans that did not go their way.
I have no idea, how different the outcome is. I will say, you're up at the half probably, and who knows what happens from there. I just think it was the wrong call. One, it's like these – think of the Titans fans who, again, are saying, hey, there's Hassan Haskins scoring a touchdown, and hey, here's Tyrann Taylor, and there goes Nico Autry last night, and on and on and on. And also, just knowing that whenever there's one of those fumble incomplete rulings, it will go against their team.
Yeah.
Like, you can count on that. I think it was the wrong call. I don't think he had control. I think that it was jarred from his hand, and then he did his little thing, like quarterbacks do, and I've seen more clear examples of, to me, control ruled a fumble. And Dean Blandino, oh yeah, that's it. I'm like, guys,
this is why we got to get rid of I've said this before, it's a perma rant for me, get rid of these stupid officials and the rules analysts on the broadcast. All they do is just hop on there and defend their boys. I hate it.
I know, but it's like, but there are other times where they can be helpful, like with a what's the rule on this, I hear what you're
not
saying.
Not often enough are they helpful at all.
Well, they need to. I mean, like last night, I was at least like the guys like, yeah, they should have called pass interference on the line. It's like, okay, there we go. Let's have more of that. The fact that they were just like, oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, at the very least, you watch that play, and you know what the call on the field was. And I understand, like, you're supposed to call it on the field like that, right? Yep. And that's good. You should. You let it play out. I don't think they should have overturned it.
Well, it's a huge swing in the game. And, look, are the Titans going to win the game if that call goes their way? I have no idea. Probably not. Titans seem to find a way to lose some games, so probably not. But, I mean, you can't tell me that's not a massive swing there if you're the Titans and you're going up with a lead in the half after that. I mean, it just totally changes the way the game is played at that point.
Yeah, and Brian Callahan was, I thought, appropriately furious.
He was.
On the sidelines with the officials. It just watched a million of those. This is probably, I mean, it's become, now that they got done with the stupid completing the process thing, this is the NFL's version of goalie interference, right?
Like, yeah, pretty much.
There's this subjectivity it's just like, at times, like, I know, okay, this, I think, is a consistent thing about it, but then you're like, oh, no, they ruled it differently than I thought on this one. I think for the most part, this would be, if you line them all up together, you could find a bunch of plays like this called fumbles that weren't as clear as this one, I think.
Well, and then the right tackle problem continuing to be a pretty big issue for the Titans yesterday. I can't remember what series it was, but, Leroy Watson got absolutely torched on one play, then got called for a penalty, and then got called for another penalty, two plays in a row, and then got beat again the next play. So, like, four plays in a row, just a massive waving red flag over there at right tackle. And I'm not sure he got back in the game after that. I think it may have just been a Ajukwu after that. Not good stuff at right tackle continuing for the Titans.
Yeah, I guess just keep spinning the wheel.
Yeah, just until you screw up where we can't put you back in the game, it's yours. And when you do, you're coming in, and then we'll just flip-flop it back around. It's pretty bad.
I still, as bad as he was, I still don't think Petit Frere
is
worse than these guys. Yeah. I mean, it's just,
it's unbelievable.
NPF, are you available? Are you done with, you got your picks in and everything?
Daniel Brunskill, can you go over there and just stand in the way? Like, what did Daniel Brunskill do to these guys? You tell me he's not better than that.
Well, he's the center now.
I know, but like, he couldn't get on the field before Cushenberry went down.
Yeah, well, yeah. But that's the thing. Raiden's, I think, was – well, clearly, and Bill Callahan said this, they wanted more size, and Brunskill's not big.
I want somebody who could effectively get in the way occasionally at right tackle.
Yeah.
That's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah. I mean, but Brunskill, has Brunskill had any reps at tackle?
Here? Not here. He has with the Niners.
He did previously, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, hey, at this point, any possibility, try it, sure.
You got to be just desperate as can be over there right now. 615-737-1025, our phone number. What do we make of Will Levis's performance and his return to the lineup yesterday for the Titans? We'll take your thoughts on that as well coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
What did you think about Will?
I thought Will was good at times. I thought a couple of times it felt like he was trying to find a bigger play in the later parts of the game. And once he started getting the ball out and just trying to play faster, that was good. I thought he did some good things today. There's definitely some things that are encouraging and things to teach off of.
That's Brian Callahan after the game yesterday discussing Will Levis. Said he was good at times. Thought later in the game, maybe looking down the field for the big play a little bit too much. But when he got the ball out quick, played well. The numbers for Will Levis yesterday, Joe, are good. 18 of 23, 175 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. Had a rating of 127.4. So, based just purely on the numbers, that's a pretty significant step forward from what we've seen from Will Levis so far this season. He did fumble the ball once. It was recovered by the Titans, so the ball bouncing the Titans' way yesterday. J.C. Latham picks it up, and man, Joe, for a second, I was like, ooh, J.C. Latham's about to break this loose. He's got some wiggle to him. And then about 2 yards later, he was taken down. So my dream of a J.C. Latham touchdown foiled yesterday.
Real quick, that reminds me of the game last night. Have you ever seen that before?
No.
Titus Howard tried to rip it out of C.J. Stroud's hands and go, like, run with it?
Yeah. It was very strange.
What?
That's why you like this league. When you think you've seen everything, you haven't. Something new happens.
The strip sack by the offensive lineman. Amazing.
It's like, sir, what are you doing? Good stuff. But yeah. Levis, I thought a lot of the game yesterday, and we're going to get in some things that I didn't like from him, but I thought a lot of the game yesterday was a nice step for him. Now, I'm not going to go too far overboard with it, but like the first drive, right? They moved the ball down the field, number one. I thought some good play calling in there by Callahan. They used him. I saw you tweet this. It was pretty funny. Like, they used him kind of like Diego Pavio. It was just like, yeah, you run right up the middle, or you run out to the right. Get him on the move.
A little fake sweep, QB power.
Yeah, like, I liked it. And then you hit the play that they haven't been able to hit all year long between those two, where you get Ridley matched up one-on-one, and they were breaking this down on the broadcast. Levis did a great job of kind of holding the defense to the left with his eyes and then hit Ridley right in stride. Now, still, he was talking about him underthrowing the ball. It was a fine throw. Throw was fine for Calvin Ridley. Gets it in the end zone, and that's the first drive, and you're like, okay, pretty good stuff from Will Levis and the Titans there. You know, it was inconsistent the rest of the game, offensively speaking. But just overall, from Levis specifically yesterday, what did you make of the way that he played in his return to the lineup?
Yeah, I think it was the best he's played this year. There were no huge, you know, miscues. He didn't. He didn't put the ball in harm's way throwing it, I don't think, really at all. I may be forgetting something, but I don't think so. He didn't make any
couple
decisions.
Tight windows, but nothing but that, egregious.
Yeah, you got to do it sometimes. Slid twice. Looked good running. Again, like the offense bogged down, so it's ultimately like. So basically, this offense scored 10 points, and then they got a garbage time touchdown. Yeah. So he's still the quarterback of that offense.
Right.
And the sacks, definitely. 7 sacks. Like Callahan said after the game, you know, the couple, like one of the boots, you know, so like two of them were kind of like, you know, he got tackled right near the line.
Yeah.
You know, so but those
only lost 18 yards on the 7 sacks, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah, because both like two of them were like basically out of the line. Those are the two, you know, Callahan said those are on him. I'd say there was at least, you know,
there are one or two more that probably aren't.
Yeah, it's like either so, but then it's sort of like, okay, was there nothing there? They needed something short available for him that he didn't have,
right?
So we had to hold it too long. The big difference you do see from going from Rudolph to Levis. And I know there's some stats floating around that kind of confirm this, is Rudolph is very much programmed like ball out quick. And for the most part, especially with an offensive line like this, I think that's a pretty good way to proceed.
Probably so.
So, you know, I think Levis certainly holds it too long at times and gets himself in trouble. And just, like, there was one where it's like, that's one of those, it's so easy, you're watching on TV and, gee, just do this, man. I can see the guy on the screen, but it's like climb the pocket a little bit and you're fine. And instead, it's like you start to feel it, then you know, and then you just go down. Also, there are a few of those sacks. I don't care who you are. You're going down immediately because your offensive line is that bad. The offensive line took a step backward, too. This wasn't just Rudolph to Levis. This was just some terrible pass pro reps yesterday that reminded me of early in the season. I wouldn't go overboard blaming Levis on the overall pass pro issues yesterday.
How about old Buck Dupree?
He needs to work on that for sure. He looks like a young QB sometimes. What's that?
How about old Bud Dupree flying
yesterday? There, I forgot about him.
Yep, me too.
The former Titans triumph tour all through the league. Yeah. But look, I think that Levis, like this is one of those things. If Levis played like this earlier in the season, it would have been one of those, okay, all right, pretty good. And I think it's definitely good that Levis and Ridley did connect. The second TD to Ridley was a dime. It was garbage time, but it was a sweet throw. So, yeah, so again, it's like, is it a performance where you're changing hearts and minds? No, but this is the whole point, is to give the guy these opportunities and see where it goes. This was, to me, a positive step.
Well, I think for him, from a confidence standpoint, because the way that this year has played out for him, I think it's hard to have a lot of confidence with the way that he's played and with the way that things have gone for the team as well. I do think, like, if you're him individually, you could take something from yesterday and say, okay, like, there's a performance that it looked like, for the most part, I had a clue of what I was doing out there and was pretty accurate with the ball yesterday. And like you said, I mean, the main takeaway from him yesterday is there was just no egregiously bad decision where the ball ends up in the hands of the other team, because there has been pretty much every time he set foot out there this year. So that was a nice step in the right direction. There were still some plays yesterday where it's just like you got to start seeing some of this better. Like I tweeted one out. I think this was the second drive. Like, he was rolling out to his right and just kept rolling and drifting and drifting and drifting, and there's nothing there. Like, you just airmail the ball out of bounds. You live to play the next play. And he just waits and then just gets walloped right there on the line. And it's like, he is the only quarterback in the league that would take that hit in that situation right there. And it's like, you have to get rid of the ball. So there's still some things that he's just not seeing yet and not processing. And he talked about that a little bit after the game yesterday, that there's still some things that he's got to process a little bit better than he's seeing right now. But overall, I thought yesterday was a positive step for Will Levis. And anytime that you don't have the egregious turnover, that's a step forward from what we've seen this year.
Yeah, don't have the egregious turnover. You saw some of the arm talent. I thought he had another one, like kind of like an over, like a little in cut NWI tight window. That was a big time throw. Yep. You know, it's one of those, you know, it's always the throwing someone open. You know, the idea, can you put in a spot? You have to have that chemistry too. You know, you have to have that trust with each other. But I thought that looked like a big time throw. So, yeah, look, it's something for him to build on. The Titans continue to just know that one way or another, they're probably going to score 17 points.
It's kind of incredible. Like, even, you know, I know they scored 20 last week, but that was in overtime.
Right.
Like, you know, 17 and through four quarters is pretty remarkable run they're on of that right now. It's happened a lot this year.
The Lions came into yesterday's game averaging 15 a game in the second quarter.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. Pretty good stuff. Skyler says, where was NWI's touchdown? Fire everybody. Did not get the ball to NWI in the end zone yesterday.
That is a fair point. Ridley's starting to take his touchdowns away, man. Like,
Calvin,
what the heck's going on?
Step aside. NWI needs more looks, need more touchdown. 615-737-1025, our phone number. What did you think of Will Levis's performance yesterday against the Chargers? We'll take your thoughts on that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. They fall to 2-7 after the 27-17 loss to the Chargers yesterday. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Will Levis's performance by the numbers, 18 of 23, 175 for two touchdowns, zero interceptions, zero turnovers for Will Levis in the game yesterday. Your thoughts on his performance. Joey from Bellevue on the text line says, well, they still only scored 17 points. Seven came during garbage time. It's still not good enough, talking about Levis's performance yesterday. I hear that. I mean, you're quarterbacking the team that continues to find a way to 17. Look, I don't think anybody's under some grand illusion that Will Levis took some gigantic leap yesterday and is now in the driver's seat to be the franchise quarterback moving forward. I do think, though, just objectively watching it, it was a step, and I'm not sure how big of a step, but a step in the right direction as to what we've seen, comparatively speaking, for the rest of the year. Now the question is, like, how much better can it get? Like, can he build on it? Because, look, it's not all the quarterback just in terms of continually ending up at 17 points. They've switched quarterbacks, and that's still about where they end up. So there's, I think, some things fundamentally with the offense right now that are just not good enough and not good enough to really move the ball and consistently score points in this league in the NFL. It's a large enough body of sample size right now where we can just, you know, definitively say this offense is not very good. I mean, it is what it is. But I do think if you're being objective about it, with him specifically yesterday, there were some things to like and a step in the right direction. My opinion on it in terms of his long-term future here did not change at all with the game yesterday, but I do think he took a nice step in the right direction.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, no one's, at least not here, going to overreact to that and make any proclamations, but it was a good step. It was the best he's played this year. So he can play better, needs to play better. You know, this is it's Levis, and also it's, you know, everybody's being evaluated. So from the Brian Callahan and his offensive staff perspective, is he going to be the coach and then they're going to draft another QB?
Right.
Because you want to see also that they can help someone get better. So that's part of it too. Even if Levis is not the, you know, not the QB after this year, or not part of the answer after this year, you still want to see that from the coaching perspective. And by the way, I thought at times yesterday there was some really good, I really liked some of the play calling and the mixing of things that they had going on. And then some, again, it's like one of my questions is, we can sit here and debate how many of these sacks you want to put on Levis, how many sacks you want to put on the offensive line. Some of them, they both get plenty, but you know, are there, like, is it an issue of at times, like, not having something quick for him, or is it just that he, you know, didn't see it? You know, because that is one thing. Rudolph does get the ball out.
He does. And look, like, in a perfect world, you want your quarterback to be able to hold on the ball a little bit to some degree and to let some of these plays develop. I'm just not sure the Titans are really equipped to do that right now. But, I mean, look, the touchdown throw, the first one to Ridley, it's 41-yarder. Like, it takes some time to develop. So, like, if you're going to hit some of these big shots down the field, sometimes it's required that your offensive line can hold up and your quarterback can hold on the ball for, you know, 2 or 3 seconds back there to let things go.
Right. And that was play action.
Yep.
Levis play action looking downfield you want those opportunities. You know, you don't necessarily have to be great at running the ball to get them. The Titans still, I mean, Tony Pollard had another good game.
Yep.
But you need play action. And obviously you need to hold up. I mean, but there were times, I mean, it looked to me like in certain, especially in the second half, I mean, they were leaving people in to try to give him time, you know. And then you've got, I mean, on one play, you've got old Joey Bosa still hanging out. He's still like a pretty good player, but, you know, obviously he's not what he used to be. You know, he's getting doubled by a back and a tight end.
Right.
And he blows through that double team and gets a sack, you know. But they were trying to provide extra help for the offensive line, and at times it still didn't matter.
I mean, really, like, the one glaring play call yesterday that I was just like, what are you guys doing? There was really only one. And I think it was like 3rd and 5 or 4 or 5 where they threw basically like the fade to Josh Wiley. And I was like, I don't know if that's probably the play call I'd go with there. I don't know if I'm throwing fade route to Josh Wiley.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, if you threw it better and you really back shoulder it, there's no way that corner gets around him, right? So, I mean, I kind of like the matchup and the idea, and I'm assuming they repped that and Wiley showed that he could go up and get it. But, like, with the throw, gave it no chance. And then you're like, yeah, that's just a weird decision. Like, well, just a weird situation.
It's just a weird, like, throw that ball to Calvin Ridley. throw that ball to somebody else.
I mean, if you make it a who's going to get the rebound, then I certainly like a big tight end against a corner, right? But you have to, you can't launch the alley-oop into the third row. And then it looks dumb, like a dumb play.
Matt on the text line, Levis not sucking does not give me hope. Every good quarterback can have a bad day, and every bad quarterback can have a decent day. I'm still out on him. Got one texter that says, do you think Brian Callahan should hire a really good offensive coordinator and relinquish the play calling? This is from an unnamed texter on the text line.
It is before this game. I don't think play calling overall is the problem. I think we've seen some pretty good feel from him on that. It's what he is. It's what he does. So if you had what you need on offense and you're scoring 17, if you had what you needed personnel-wise, and we'd have a much better idea if they did, right? Like, we could see if people can block, and we can see if a quarterback can consistently play well.
Yeah.
And if you have enough receiver, all that stuff. And then they're still scoring 17, then I think I'd entertain that. But right now, I think that's way down the list of what you worry about. You got to get better players.
Laverne on the YouTube chat, you guys are making excuses for this team right now.
I mean,
maybe we are.
I guess we did talk about the fumble. I guess that could be considered excuse making. I mean, I continue to say, yeah, it's not a good call in my opinion. But yeah, mostly we're just talking about Levis. Is that making an excuse for the team?
I don't know. I mean, look, I will freely admit, like, the outrage of them losing games for me is totally gone.
It's hard to summon it at this point.
Yeah, like, I know some Titans fans still do, and that's fine. But, like, them losing the game yesterday was 100% expected from me heading into it. So, like, my expectations here have shifted. And maybe that's not good. Maybe that is me making excuses, but it just is what it is. They're 2-7, and guess what? There's going to be a lot more losses coming for this team. So the outrage for the losing right now is gone by the wayside for me a little bit. It just kind of is what it is.
I mean, the last time I noticed some real outrage when they won.
I know. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they won last week, and people were as mad as they've been all year long on our text line.
So Laverne with two G's. Tell us the excuse we're making. What's the excuse?
Yeah, like, I don't want to make excuses, so let us know.
He also says at this point you have to put – thank you for – you know, I sometimes forget about the YouTube chatters. I don't want to forget about them.
No, if we love our YouTube chatters.
At this point, you have to put MPF back in. He might be right.
Well, look, when Leroy Watson yesterday – I mean, one of the reps that he had, you know, I think – I can't even remember who he was going up against on this rep. It may have been Bud Dupree. I can't remember who it was. But – he was the defender was in the backfield, I think, before Watson even moved, which is pretty hard to do in the NFL. I was like, wow, he got totally around him before Watson took one step. That's pretty difficult to accomplish in the NFL.
Oh, man.
It's pretty atrocious over there. It doesn't really matter who it is right now. It's bad at right tackle. They've all got their own problems at that spot right now.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way. Well, obviously, there's no way now because they're missing their center. But the Brunskill thing, maybe that should have been part of it. I don't know. I mean, try every single person.
I'm just grasping at straws, man. It's so bad over there. Jesse says, I don't think it's excuses. I think it's the apathy that we've all discussed. We are so accustomed to losing horribly. But when we lose not so horribly, we get excited. This is from Jesse on the text line. Like, hey, wasn't that bad. Quarterback didn't throw a pick six.
Right. There weren't any just horrific decisions there. The bar is very low. The bar is very, very low.
No doubt. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans' loss to the Chargers yesterday. What did you make of the offense? What did you make of the way Will Levis played and his return to lineup? All those things on the table. Check out this week's Nashville's Best Deal of the Week. It's Fat Bottom Brewing Company. Enjoy their long-awaited release of their barrel-aged Noel Christmas Ale just in time for the holidays. Get half off a $100 gift card now at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. They lose 27-17 yesterday to the L.A. Chargers. Titans dropped to 2-7 on the regular season. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's go to our phone line and welcome in Mike in Gallatin. Mike, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. Good morning. It was tough to almost see towards the end of the game that the Chargers, it felt like we're almost designing plays for former Titans to get their licks in on their team. With Hassan Haskins punching that one in, I almost just chuckled. I had to look it up to see if there's any more. Maybe Elijah Molden could have caught a swing pass or something to add to the misery that was watching that game. The announcers were singing the praises of, like, the guys like Bud Dupree and things like that, but not trying to give credit or help an offensive line that gives up 7 sacks. But I believe it was the same drive. Don't correct me if I'm wrong. Bud Dupree got 2 sacks, or it was 2 sacks within 2 drives. Our drive,
2 sacks within like 3 plays, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That Latham had him blocked, at least on the first one. It felt that way. But when you climb the pocket like twice. All you had to do was turn around and just, like, and tag him. I mean, like, I don't know, like, what else you have to expect. Like, I just feel like Levis's pocket presence is non-existent. And I don't know if that's something that he can fix, especially with the situation that we're going to be in, because it's not like all of a sudden the line's going to just magically get better and his opportunities to shine are right here, right now. And if he doesn't have any pocket presence, anything else like that, it's just – I just don't know how much longer, like how much more help he's going to be able to get to improve on that alone.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate it. I think that call is kind of right in line with a lot of the discussion on him in the aftermath of today, right? Like the seven sacks, how much of it is on the offensive line? How much of it is on Levis? You know, the plays that he bring up there with Dupree, you know, the one fumble they had in the game was, we were talking about this off air, Joe. Like I thought it was a play where like Latham, it's not like Latham got beat on that play. Like, he was maybe a little bit deep in his drop, but, like, he didn't get beat. Like, he got back, he was in his spot, and then Levis climbed the pocket, and Dupree ran him down and stripped the ball. And now they got the ball back, and we were robbed of a J.C. Latham touchdown after that. But, like, it plays like that, you know, climbing the pocket and kind of running into some trouble there if you're Will Levis, not getting rid of the ball. He certainly wasn't perfect in that area yesterday. I do think that's something that at times has been a problem in his career. Look, it's a classic case of two things being true, and I said this yesterday on Twitter. Titans offensive line's got some problems in pass protection. Like it doesn't take a genius to see that. I also think there are some times where he does not really help himself back there in the pocket.
Yeah, no, Mike, but great. That's absolutely – and that look, sometimes that happens. Quarterbacks – you know, they don't know exactly where everybody is, and they end up moving themselves right into a sack where it's like, dude, I actually had my guy blocked. Why did you come here? I mean, that happens. Probably happens too much with him. You know, our friend Brian Summers, the PFF, so take it with your PFF grain of salt. But, you know, pressure to sack rates was a tweet, and it's like Levis 43 or, you know, in the 40s and Rudolph lives. So, in other words, when you're pressured and they result in a sack, it's way higher for Levis than it is for Rudolph, yep. Right? And I think, again, I said it earlier, Rudolph gets the ball out quickly. He is, to me, when I watch him, he's, and I'm sure some of it is like understanding his own personnel right now in this situation. He's a veteran. He gets the ball out quickly. It's like, just, you know, get the ball out. If you get something quick game, he's a fan of that. Levis, as we know, he wants to push the ball down the field. So that's part of it too. But, yeah, I think his presence in the pocket and feel is not great, and I think that was part of it yesterday, and part of it was at times, I don't care who you are, you're going to get trampled because you just took the snap and, like, you know, you're trying – your guys on the right side tried to double someone who isn't that good and blew through it and just, you know, sacked your QB. I mean, but I guess – With the pocket presence, how much can you improve on that over time? Is that a young quarterback? Yeah. Is that one of those things? Like, to me, accuracy, it's unlikely to have a huge difference by the time you're in the NFL. But how much can you improve? You can certainly improve seeing the field, you can seeing coverages, all those things, right? How much can you improve pocket presence, feel, and all that type of stuff?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure some, but I do think some of that's natural too, right? Like some of it is, some guys just have a natural feel of what's going on around them, exactly how long to hang on the ball. Like, look, Mahomes, I think we use Mahomes as an example too much because he's kind of a freak.
Yeah.
And so not everybody can be that.
But he is the standard.
He is the standard. But like, to me, his pocket presence is unbelievable. Like, he's got a really good feel of not only the accuracy with the ball and some of the ridiculous throws, but one of the best parts of his game is he knows exactly how long to hang in there and as soon as to get rid of the ball or to get out. Like, he's really good at that. And you can make a lot of plays in this league if you've got a good feel for the pocket. Like, you can make a lot of plays down the field if you can navigate the pocket really well. Look, you know, Tom Brady was not a good athlete. Like, he's not going to beat you running. Tom Brady could navigate the pocket pretty darn well.
Right. Yeah, and buy himself some more time. Yeah, and just have a feel. Yeah, with Mahomes, it's like Spider-Man. It's like Spidey sense. Because, again, you watch on TV, and it's like, oh, it makes sense. They went over there. But it's like, but yeah, but see, he couldn't see that. How did he know that?
Yeah.
And then he extends the play, and then you're in trouble. And, yeah, it's just that's a really interesting one. You can work on all the footwork stuff, right? And you can work on climbing the pocket and all these different things. But, like, just having a feel for it. The one thing about Levis that I don't think we've seen, which is good, like, here's the thing with Mariota to me. Understandable, and I think it's one of the things that happens to a lot of quarterbacks, but you get those happy – you get to see the ghost thing. Mariota saw a ghost a lot late, and he's just sort of like buckling down to be sacked. It's like no one was going to hit you. You actually had time to throw it, and you – and that happens. And I don't see that with Levis.
No, no. I mean, sometimes I think it's kind of the opposite.
Right.
He's like, you're about to get hit. I'll take the hit. No, I don't care. It's going
to
be fine.
Hey, Will, you're about to get hit. You don't want to get hit, right?
I think it was the second drive yesterday. And I talked about the play, but when he rolled out to his right and just drifted and drifted and drifted. I mean, I had enough time on the broadcast to sit there and be like, hey, throw it. Throw the ball. And he still just hung on to it and just got smacked on that play. And I was just like, oh, boy. Man, that guy's not afraid of getting hit. I'll give him that.
No.
He is not afraid.
Two slides. Progress. Two slides.
One of them looked a little awkward. One of them looked pretty good, though. Pretty good slide.
Yeah,
he's been working on his form a little bit.
Ed says at the very least, this game should put to rest any desire not to play Levis the rest of the way. Well, I would agree. I think it was already put to rest, but well, maybe not with some people. Yeah, and anybody like, well, see, I mean, Rudolph.
I don't want to see Mason Rudolph play.
No, no, it's ridiculous.
Not that my opinion on Levis has changed, but I don't want to watch Mason Rudolph.
Levis gets every snap the rest of the year as long as he's healthy. It's very simple.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Daryl to the program. Daryl, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, what's up, guys? Robbie, I heard you're back into your rant about Shane Beamer of the Gamecocks last week, and I was calling to see how you were feeling this Monday morning after the Gamecocks came in and clobbered Vanderbilt Saturday.
I'm not feeling good, Daryl.
Good morning, buddy.
Not feeling good, Daryl, at all. They came in and they beat the absolute crap out of Vanderbilt.
Beamer ball!
I mean,
I was a little surprised. I was at the game. I expected a more fight out of Andy. I don't know what the deal was, but I know he's still got a lot to play for. But I was a little surprised by that score. I didn't think it would be. I was kind of excited about it because more teams, usually when we play Vandy, we're searching for our sixth win, and they're just trying to play out the string. But that game had a lot more substance for both teams than they usually do historically. But Vandy be okay.
Yep. Thanks for calling, Daryl.
I usually root for Vandy. I can go back to rooting for him this week.
There we go. Thanks for the call, Daryl. Appreciate it. I mean, and then in true Shane Beamer fashion, because he's always got to find something to whine about, got up there in the post-game press conference and started talking about how they don't allow the mascots over there at Vandy. So, of course.
Wait, I missed this. What?
Apparently, Vanderbilt doesn't allow, like, mascots over there. So, I guess they're the only team in the SEC that doesn't allow you to bring your mascot. So, he got up there, like, he said he was talking to whatever their SC Spur or whatever their mascot is called, and this week, and everybody's upset that Vanderbilt doesn't allow mascots. So he got up in the post-game press conference, don't rank us this week, and then started whining about mascots, really encapsulating everything that I hate about
so
that
you
man.
Just absolutely hate watch all his pressers, don't you?
I know, it was
every word he says. No, somebody, you love it.
Somebody DM'd me, and I was like, watch this idiot in this press conference start whining about mascots. Sure enough, there he did.
Interesting. Well, let me say this. I think what happened, and I was at Indiana, Michigan, but I was watching the game on my phone. I think what happened is that South Carolina is a freaking good football team.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
And you know what? We're going to get into it this week on this SEC mess of two lost teams. If they didn't lose their QB, they would have beat LSU, and they'd be right there with them. Think about that.
Yeah.
LSU would just be a total afterthought. They suck. Nice job, Brian Kelly.
Yeah, that was very easy to see coming this weekend.
I did not see that one coming. I didn't see, like, just a trucking like that coming. My goodness.
Those are the games that Brian Kelly loses.
Yeah. But, like, South Carolina should be right in there with them, too. And your guy Eli Drinkwitz, I said payoff. That's right. Payoff.
Yeah, it was a real good weekend for the college football coaches to just annoy the crap out of me. It really was. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans coming up next. Do have some college football thoughts to get to coming up at 7:30. No Kuharski today. Kuharski is still out on the West Coast, and it is currently 4:57 in the morning where he is. So we'll catch up with Kuharski coming up on Wednesday. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.